She is back from the Rio Games, has brought her medal with her, the gold medalist, Erica Weeb, in studio.
Yo, what's up?
How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Good.
Better now.
Oh.
I got
a gold medal in the room. Are you kidding me?
It'll rub off on you, I'm sure.
It's one of those things that I always wonder. There's no way to appreciate it, I would think, when you're on the other side of the world and you do something like win a gold medal and then how it resonates here. Like, you can have no appreciation for what it is here, but truly the whole country is like, we got a medal. Everybody at the office, coffee room, work, whatever you're doing, we got a medal. And then on Twitter, there's the picture of the gold medal, and you know, and it's like, Calgary. And I get a couple people, Ontario, dude. she's from Stittsville, stupid. So what's the story? Are you
straighten people out here?
Ooh, guys. You're starting off with the tough questions.
Maybe we can share? Can we share?
Because if you say Stittsville, then we got to cut this interview short.
Okay, see ya.
total Calgary.
So, I was born and raised in Stittsville, Ontario, which is like a suburb of Ottawa. Then I moved to Calgary 9 years ago because I wanted to live and train in the best city ever.
That's what I thought. Pretty
good. That story a lot.
Yeah. But I mean, Mayor Nenshi was in Rio and he was there celebrating my gold medal win. So that was really cool. But Stittsville has named a gym after me.
Ooh.
So,
step it up.
All right,
Nenshi, let's go. Gym, I want a street. Yeah. Let's do this.
And no one knows a party like Nenshi.
Really?
Hey, he's a wild man.
Is he?
Oh, there are stories.
So, I bet there are. I was talking before we went on air, obviously. The greatest thing would be to win a gold medal and do it in the first week. So then it's like, I can eat and drink and slag and do whatever I want. And it's a party and all of that.
Mojitos, caprinas.
You had to be pretty disciplined in week one. While it's the Olympics, this is unbelievable. We're in an unbelievable part of the world. But I have the competition of my life coming up in 5, 6 days, right? You can't really let loose.
So we actually competed. I competed 13 days after the opening ceremonies.
Yeah,
so it's a long time. But Wrestling Canada, this is our first rodeo. We've had a lot of Olympic success and kind of have a really good strategy and program for us. And so we went to the opening ceremonies, had this amazing experience with all the athletes. And then we actually got the hell out of Rio.
Yeah. Hmm.
And so we had a taper camp in this small Brazilian town about 3-4 hours away. And it was just really secluded, just the Wrestling Canada team, training partners, staff. And we had this perfect little taper camp. So I didn't have to deal with any of the crazy parties that all those gold medalists were having.
Yeah.
And I just got to, be sequestered away and... Yeah.
See, it's stuff like that I wouldn't even think of. but truly, I mean, and that's tribute to Canada and how they go about things, that they would go to those extent to make sure that you are secluded, but it's also to keep you in shape and keep you focused and all of that. Whereas I would think, well, you just go and sit around and wait for your, I'm going to eat right and get some sleep and then wait, like you say, for 13 days. So did it go, you can never really predict that you're going to win gold, but did this pretty much go how you... saw it going? Like, not to say I knew I was going to win gold, but was it ever really a swerve for you that it's like, whoa, that's totally, you had to feel like you had the shot, right?
Yeah, I've beaten all the best in the world, and I was really confident going in. On the day of, I really visualized what I wanted my perfect match, my perfect day to look like. But in the sport of wrestling, there's no guarantees, and even the draw itself is totally random. Like, there's no seeding whatsoever. So the night before we weigh in, we get our draw, and I had some people that I wasn't really sure. Like, I've never wrestled the Ukrainian or the Turkish girl, but I'd wrestled the American, the Chinese, all these former world champions and current world champions. Yeah. So I got my draw. My coach actually confided this in me yesterday. He said he got my draw, and he was like, Jesus, like. I couldn't even imagine a harder draw for Erica. Like, what is this?
Yeah.
And then so he was thinking that the moment I weighed in, he saw my draw. And then I told him, then I saw my draw, and we get back to the hotel, and, you know, we're talking about, we're doing some match analysis, we're preparing. And I was like, Paul, you know, this is the perfect draw for me. Like, I need, like, I, this is the draw that I wanted.
Yeah.
And he's like, either she's crazy or I've done my job.
And then he's like, yes, I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah. He didn't say anything at the time. So it's kind of funny.
Tell me about the celebration at the end, because that's going to be one of the lasting Olympic impressions. I mean, we have obviously DeGrasse and Bolt and that going on, but when you pick up your coach and place your coach on your shoulders, that's not going away. I mean, that's phenomenal. Walk us through it.
Well, I mean, he is a little guy. He wrestled 48 kilos at the 96 Olympics, so that's 108 pounds or so. So, you know, he's a little guy, so it wasn't that hard. But, you know, he's been with me since day one in Calgary. He was such an essential part of this whole process, both, you know, with strategy and tactics, and also just, you know, mentally pushing me and challenging me. I kind of call my coach we all call him like a mental terrorist. And so, you know, he's just, you know, he really
sounds like a great guy.
He's not so bad though. But, so, you know, it was in the moment, I was just like, you know, this is, we did it. You know, I really felt that way. So it was cool to share that with him.
Erica Weeb, gold medalist from Rio, here with us in studio. To still think how much work goes into a 2-week event for you, like a 1-week, 5-day event where one little thing can go wrong and ruin you for the next 4 years. Was it ever in the back of your mind? Because this is how I would be, being negative Nelly all the time. It's like,
yeah.
How am I going to deal with this if I lose? Rather than thinking how great it's going to be when I win, it's like, oh, these next 4 years are going to be awful.
Glass is empty, maybe, not half full. It's right? An empty glass. That's his view of the world.
How do you prepare yourself for either that crush of devastation or not getting ahead of yourself and thinking, yeah, gold is going to be great?
Well, to be honest, you know, this sport is so cruel, and I had gone through so many experiences of that in the last 4 years leading into Rio. You know, I just missed making the 2012 Olympic team. I was in London as a training partner, but obviously that just kind of broke my heart to be there and to be watching, not competing. It fired me up too, but it was a really tough experience. And then, you know, I was in 2014, I was ranked number one in the world going into Worlds, and I just had a devastating loss there. You know, in 2015, I didn't make the Canadian national team.
Mm-hmm.
I lost to a great athlete from Vancouver, and I didn't go to Pan Am Games. I didn't go to Worlds.
Wow.
And so I've had all those crushing defeats, and I went into this Olympic process, like these last 6 months, knowing that, you know, I had done so much work leading into it, and I knew that there was no guarantees. And so I stepped on the mats on August 18th, and I already felt like a champion because I had put in that kind of champion effort in the days leading into it. You know, I knew that nothing would take away from the person that I was going in.
Mm.
And I truly believe that if you're not enough before you cross the finish line or the buzzer ends or the game is over, then you'll never be enough when it's done and when you win. And you know what? I felt like I was enough that day.
Well, you did know you were getting a medal. That probably helps. But I mean, it's incredible, I think, when people are in the top percentile of what they do in sport, like you, to have that mental makeup. Now, take me through the day, because with time change and everything, it's different for us and all that.
But, yeah.
So you wake up, this is the day. What do you do leading up to getting to the venue?
Mm.
And then how do you get yourself ready in the back room in the venue?
Yeah, so wrestling is a one-day competition. So I had 4 matches that day. I woke up at 4:30 in the morning and had my traditional morning puke.
Now, does this just happen or?
I get really.
Because I need more details on this now.
See, Wright used to do that, but that was for different reasons.
Yeah.
I get really nauseous, you know, like, and it's just part of the process that I've come to like embrace.
Yeah.
Well, not really embrace, but accept, I guess.
Maybe, yeah.
And so, yeah, you know, I woke up at 4:30 and I just was sick to my stomach. And you know, I kind of welcome that feeling now. It means that I'm ready because wrestling is a fight. You know, it's not like I'm going to go play tennis. And they're going to be on that side. I'm going to be on this side. And we get to, like,
listen,
you know,
to her
pass
smack
the ball
and
back and forth.
Players,
right?
Take that, Eugenie.
I'm not playing hockey. No,
yeah.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, wrestling is a battle. And so you just have to, your body's prepared mentally and physically to do that. So I woke up, you know, I had breakfast. I actually ended up going to the venue by myself because my whole team had, they were both first match. So all of the staff and the two athletes that I was competing with that day in different weight classes, they left early to go to the venue. And they're like, Erica, are you okay going on your own? And I was like, yes. I was like, nothing you guys can do or say or can happen on this day is going to like deter me from my goal and my mindset. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I shuffled on the bus by myself with all the other countries and I had my earplugs in. You know, I listened to one song on repeat for the whole 40 minutes leading in. I can't tell you.
It's Drake, isn't it?
Which was...
Well, actually, I'm a big Rihanna fan leading into wrestling competitions. But in that for that moment, this kind of song that's kind of buoyed me through this whole journey has been Hold On by Sean Paul.
Okay.
Yeah.
Jay, find that.
You guys need to listen to it because it is good.
I can't understand what he's saying, but anyway.
Right? Yeah. That's part of the experience. Yeah. You're like, what does he do?
What is he saying?
And I got to the venue and a bunch of people warming up. Wrestling is like organized chaos. You know, there's four mats and probably like 100 people on the mats doing different things. Like the day before I was practicing, I got kicked by this Mongolian guy and then I
Yeah, there you go. That's it.
Yes, Sean Paul, you know my heart, brother.
You think he knows he's part of a gold medal?
I don't know.
If Penny can get to the Drake concert, you should be able to meet Sean Paul.
This is the embarrassing thing. I went to the Sean Paul concert at Cowboys like 3 weeks ago. This is like the first time I've ever stepped foot in that place.
Of course it is.
Stampede, I don't remember.
We kind of made a request and nothing. Yeah. Nothing. Ah. Oh, well.
So you get.
Now like, you're famous, though.
But it is like having watched those things. There's people everywhere. Like you can just get lost. Like there's so many people, but you're dialed in. You're doing your own thing.
Yeah, and I just took it. You know, I just took it match by match. It goes really fast, and so I had my first match against Germany. We had trained together earlier this summer. The Germans came for a camp in Ontario. I knew what to expect, so I went out there, wrestled. Actually.
Threw her around.
Yeah. I'm pretty, I don't know. It's like, what do I like tell you guys what I really think?
Though? Yes.
No.
On here. Yes. Here. On no. TV. No. Here oh, you can. Yeah.
Oh, because I don't see my face. So what? But I do remember being in the match and like I was, you know, we've wrestled a bunch and I remember like, I like to be pretty, like I'm pretty physical when I wrestle. And so at one point I kind of like maybe or maybe not headbutted her.
Maybe.
And she was like, ah. And I was like, and I'm like, Maya, what do you think this is? Like, this is the Olympics. Like, you know, in my mind, it's like this dialogue. And then I like got dialed back in. And I was like,
it may or may not have been a headbutt.
We have a coworker who's really into headbutts as well.
Yeah. Really?
I mean, very popular around here.
Hey, did they call it?
No.
Like no, there's no headbutt.
It's not like that obvious. You know, you have to be subtle about these things.
That's right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then as you're going in for the final one, I think everyone even remembers watching you go in. It's It's crazy. It's crazy.
This guy's a bigger bag of nerves than you are. Believe it or not, going into that match, there's no doubt about it.
You know, and seeing the intense, like to sit here with you now and seeing how intense, obviously, you get prior to, it's amazing to the levels that you ramp up.
Yeah, you know, like it's just for me. It's kind of like I just kind of drop into like this other like person. You know, like I think wrestling maybe keeps me a little bit sane, like because I have that like outlet, then I can be like, yay, when I'm not wrestling. And it's just this whole other experience, you know, it was really fun. And I've wrestled at big competitions and I wrestled in front of thousands of people. And, you know, I get really nervous and I get really tight. And, you know, truly on that day, like I've never felt like that when I stepped on the mats. Like I didn't have a single fear. In my body, you know, I just felt so free to just go out there and just do it.
What is post-Olympics like? I know there's a lot of talk and articles coming out now about Olympic hangovers, and especially for, you know, older athletes who maybe didn't do well. But what is it like to come back from a Games where you've been building for 4 years for something, and now that target's gone? And I'm sure there's others, but I mean, it's boom. Everything you've worked for almost a half decade is done.
Yeah, it's
Thanks, Ryan.
Trying to fill your shoes, boom.
It's depressing, really.
I don't know. Is it a thing for you or not?
Well, I think, you know, they really, you know, we do a lot of work on this. You know, they really tell us about having a plan for afterwards and doing a lot of stuff, like, you know, organizing yourself afterwards. You know, I have to move today. So, you know, it's back to reality for Erica.
Doesn't it though? And I'm just joking with Ryan, but it truly is, because you go, especially when you're successful, with the way the world is, we love you. And then it's like, we're kind of done with you.
Yeah.
You can't borrow my truck to move. Sorry.
Yeah. There's, and it doesn't matter what you do, whether it's a gold medalist or you win whatever award, or if somebody does something bad, we're outraged. We can't. And then in a week's time, it's like, what was I outraged about? But it's got to be tough where it's like, okay, now that's over. It was one of the best moments of my life. I can't relive it.
Yeah.
It can never be that good again. And now what now?
Well, I mean, there's all sorts of different ways of like defining success and defining that feeling. And like, I was looking for that feeling that I had on the mats, and I had that all day, and I didn't, you know, winning the gold medal was absolutely surreal, but that didn't replace, you know, the feeling that I had when I did it. And so that's something I'm gonna have captured for the rest of my life, and something that I can like share with others and share with my family and friends. And I still really believe that I'm the same person that left here, that came back. I mean, yeah, now some people recognize me in the grocery store, which is weird.
But that's a testament to you, right? I think you are very level-headed, and you're very. I don't know that everybody would have the luxury of being as, you know, having the perspective that you do. I think it'd be hard for a lot of people, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, wrestling, it's like we're a really humble sport. We come, you know, we really come from nothing.
How did it start, by the way?
Uh-huh.
Right? I mean,
the gym in Ontario, I think, boom, is what we heard.
Young
the
girl.
Eric Weeb gym.
That's right.
Young girl.
I was in grade 9. You know, I did every sport imaginable. I loved just being active. And there was a sign outside of the gymnasium door in my high school, co-ed wrestling. And I thought, hey, I get to wear spandex and I get to wrestle with boys. This is awesome.
Ulterior motives always.
That's
right?
Awesome. Yes. This and will then, be a target rich environment.
Yeah. Now, I never got a boyfriend in high school, so it kind of was a anti-productive.
Well, because you're hammering them the whole time.
I know. I never thought about that, though.
Hey, what about Erica? No, no way.
Put me in a headlock, man.
Yeah.
She'll headbutt me. So you now you brought in the medal today.
We got to take a picture of this and put it up.
Huge and heavy. I know it's been documented that they are some like the biggest ever. I see you've already got some like marks on it.
Things got aggressive. There's some.
Could you take care of it? Maybe it's a gold medal.
You know, there's a lot of things that happen after you win the Olympic gold medal, and you know.
For radio or not for radio?
For not radio.
Yeah. When the first time, when do you take it off? How does that, because for me, it'd be like, I'm not taking this thing off. This is staying with me. It's not going anywhere. And I'm loving this.
Well, I took it off to go to sleep that night, obviously. It was right beside me in bed. And I woke up and it's like, is this a dream? Like, did this happen? And then I like kind of roll over and start to get out of bed. And then I was like, oh my God, like I'm so sore. Like, okay, it's real.
Unbelievable.
What's coming up aside from the move? I'm very curious. Like, do you have another target on the calendar or another event? Is it total decompression? Do you vacation?
Well, I know for sure that we're going to go to Tokyo in December or in January, sorry, of 2017. And so, you know, 4 years out from the games, we like to go to the next Olympic site, kind of put our feet on the ground and say like, okay, like, you know, this is our vision for the next 4 years. Yeah, new goal. And so I'll be really excited to do that in January. Just trying to, you know, take things as they come. There's an Indian professional wrestling league that I really want to get drafted into. So not sure when that is exactly. I think it's in November or December.
See, and I'm more curious, like in a more literal, immediate sense, like you leave here and then you need to go move. Like what's happening in the next 10 days? Like what are you doing before in the next month?
A lot of coffee, that's for sure. Yeah. I don't know. Again, it's like things are popping up all the time. Like I'm going to Vancouver next weekend to see a friend and to do a golf tournament. Yeah. And, you know, just trying to like get back to normal and enjoy my life. I did work out on Sunday I'm still a little sore from that. So I'm thinking of working out today. Yeah.
Thinking about it. Maybe get a sweat going.
Yeah.
No, someone just texted, were you at the roast?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Erica was there, because I wasn't there. I wasn't out of town, but that's amazing. I feel like you're one of ours now. I wish I knew that ahead of time. Amazing.
Yeah, you weren't at the roast.
I was in Australia.
You weren't at the roast, and Erica was.
I deserve to be roasted, but for that.
But again, you didn't hear anything bad at the roast.
No offside comments there.
maybe do I get to be part of the roast next year?
Yeah, maybe if you're quiet.
Anytime.
You don't say anything right now.
No. I'm saving all my best materials.
Yeah. And like I say, I said to you coming in, the one thing that I kind of wish you could appreciate is how many people watch, because I think you'd sit in there and you do your post interview one-on-one with, you know, whoever, Ron McLean. Okay, thanks for coming. Then you walk out and it's quiet, where millions of people have been sitting waiting to watch you be interviewed on TV and they wait to watch you step on the podium. It's a great moment to be there, but it's also so great for us back here. And you made the country proud. You made the city proud. You did everybody proud. Well done.
Thanks, Grimmer. That is actually like the coolest part of this whole experience, is coming back here and with my friends and family and, you know, strangers. I love hearing stories about where they were when they were watching, because that kind of like makes it feel more real. And actually, I was just on Breakfast Television, and for the first time, they showed me some footage from the Riverstone Pub where there was a big watching party. So all my teammates, you know, all these guys that just beat on me, you know, these young girls on the team that, you know, that I helped get through some tough practice, like watching them all watch me was really cool.
Well, we were at the lake with some friends and our kids were running around. It's like, oh, come in. It's time. So everybody runs in and we're all crammed into this little living room.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, we won. And then you're on the cover of every newspaper across the country. Like, it's pretty overwhelming. Pretty cool. Well done. Proud of you.
Thank you.
Amazing.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Erica Weeb, gold medalist from Calgary. Not Stittsville. Calgary. We got to
take that.
Get Nenshi on the phone.
Calgary.
We need a street. We need to name a gym, Nenshi. Let's do this.